Hello. I think you folks are going to be somewhat surprised at today's discussion. I know I was. Even the title surprised me. I didn't know there was such a thing. You'll see in a few minutes what I'm talking about. Right now, let's listen to one of Nettie's records, which opened the evening's discussion.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Don't ever feel discouraged, for Jesus is your friend. And if you lack for knowledge, he'll ne'er refuse to lend. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to
As usual, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Creator of all things, great are thy ways and mighty are thy works. Create within us ready and willing hearts. Give us the will to follow after thy ways. Support us with thy love and work a mighty work in our lives. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I call today's subject Health Insurance Policy. The first
what did
text
you say the title is?
Health Insurance Policy. The first
well, that's
text
what I thought you said, but there is no such thing as a health insurance policy.
Oh, yes, there is.
A life insurance policy, yes, and a Blue Cross plan, yes, and a dozen other such plans. But, well, I've never heard of a health insurance policy.
But there is one, Carl.
Well, I have lots of life insurance policies. Where can I get this health insurance?
You said, Carl, that you have life insurance?
Yes.
Do you really have some sort of policy that insures you against death?
Well, of course not. The only thing it insures is that when I die, Nettie will have enough money to bury me and a little left over, maybe.
Would you purchase a policy that actually insured you against ill health?
Would we?
Everyone would get that kind of a policy.
I think I see what you're getting at, Uncle Julius. If we obey God's commandments, we're insured against eternal death.
No, Nettie, I'm not talking about that at all.
Oh.
In the first place, I said health insurance and not life. In the second
place...
Well,
it's the same thing, Uncle Julius. If we obey God's commandments now, we are sure of an eternal life.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a policy that will insure you against ill health right here and now, on this world during this lifetime.
Oh, that's the kind of policy I want to buy. I'll take three of them, one for Carl Jr., one for Nettie, and one for me.
Uncle Julius is talking about religion, Carl, not a real policy.
The health insurance policy I speak of can be had by anybody regardless of their religious beliefs and affiliations.
What?
The study of how to acquire this policy, however, is so great and important that we can only skim the surface here tonight. I have a lot of literature on this subject, however, and I'll give it to you so you can really study into the matter. Tonight, we'll merely whet our appetites, as it were.
Well, I'm already interested, so go ahead. What is this health insurance policy you speak of, Uncle Julius?
Well, we'll start, Carl, by asking you to read Psalms 139, verse 14.
Psalms 139, 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made, all right.
From page 417 of a book called Ministry of Healing, we read these words. The mechanism of the human body cannot be fully understood. It presents mysteries that baffle the most intelligent. It is not as the result of a mechanism which, once set in motion, continues its work, that the pulse beats and the breath follows breath. In God we live and have our being. The beating heart, the throbbing pulse, every nerve and muscle in the living organism is kept in order and activity by the power of an ever-present God.
If I remember my chemistry correctly, the human organism is composed of some 20 elements.
The creation of man, Carl, was not a mere mechanical act on the part of the Creator. It involves the laws of physics and chemistry, which are God's laws and never vary. Carl, please read Malachi 3:6.
Malachi 3:6? For I am the Lord, I change not.
On page 347 and 348 of the book Christ Object Lessons, we find some very potent words. Here, Nettie, you please read them.
All right. His law is written with his own finger upon every nerve, every muscle, every faculty which has been entrusted to man.
At the command of God, the elements of the soil united and became organized to form compounds which make up the various cells and tissues and organs of the body. Psalms 139, verse 16. Carl, you please read that one.
Psalms 139, 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
God performed creation in harmony with the laws of nature, his own laws. His work of creation was performed with minute exactness, as outlined here in Isaiah 40, verse 20.
I'll read it. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance.
Here's a quotation from Manuscript 3, published in 1897. Please read it, Carl.
The Creator of man has arranged the living machinery of our bodies. Every function is wonderfully and wisely made. And God pledged himself to keep this human machinery in healthful action if the human agent will obey his laws and cooperate with God. Every law governing the human machinery is to be considered just as truly divine in origin, in character, and in importance as the Word of God. Every careless, inattentive action, any abuse put upon the Lord's wonderful mechanism by disregarding his specified laws in the human habitation, is a violation of God's law. We may behold and admire the work of God in the natural world, but the human habitation is the most wonderful.
God said to Adam and Eve, "If thou eat of this fruit, ye shall surely die." Adam and Eve disobeyed and entered into death. God created our bodies. He said that certain practices would keep our bodies healthful. Other practices would bring illness. Nettie, please read Acts 17, verse 28.
For in him we live and move and have our being.
Carl, please read John 10, verse 10, the last part.
John 10, 10, last part. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly.
More abundant life. Oh, that's what we're looking for, Carl.
And there's only one way, Nettie, to a more abundant life. That way is through God's health insurance policy. The wording of the main clause of that policy is found in Exodus 15, verse 26.
Well, it's my turn to read, Uncle Julius. Exodus 15, 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
To be free of disease, we need only to do what is right in the sight of the Lord?
In other words, Carl, if we obey the laws of health.
Well, that makes sense.
The second clause of this health insurance policy is found in Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2.
I get to read this one. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
And 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Nettie, please read these few words from Counsels on Health, page 49, and notice their deep meaning and significance.
It is a great thing to ensure health by placing ourselves in right relation to the laws of life, and many have not done this.
Christ paid the premium on this health insurance policy. The only price to us is obedience to the laws of health. The resources of the company that issues this health policy are unlimited, the entire universe. The president of the company is the life giver himself. Some years ago, a well-known young man who had fallen heir to a family fortune and was wasting it in riotous living consulted his physician concerning a heart ailment. His physician, after careful examination, advised the young man to change his habits of living, which meant giving up smoking, the use of alcoholic beverages, and other forms of dissipation. After thinking for a few minutes, the young man replied, Doctor, your fee is too much. I can't pay that price for health. A few days later, the newspapers carried the headlines, Mr. Blank, well-known young millionaire, dies suddenly of a heart ailment.
How foolish that he didn't obey his doctor.
Yes, foolish. Yet many today are shortening their lives by habits in violation of the laws of health. All disease, sickness, death comes as a result of violating the law of life. Please read this, Nettie.
Ministry of Healing, page 234. Disease never comes without a cause. The way is prepared and disease invited by disregard of the laws of health.
Many of us so-called intelligent beings seem to think that because we do not immediately suffer the ill effects of violating health laws, that we will never have to. Carl, please read Ecclesiastes 8:11.
Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil.
Sooner or later, we do have to pay the price for violating the laws of health. Galatians 6:7 makes this very plain.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
We may smile at the following conversation between a certain woman and her doctor, yet it's an all too accurate account of our own attitude toward the laws of health.
Doctor, what's the matter with me? I feel awful.
I've told you, Mrs. Josmans, it's cigarettes. You must give up smoking.
But I don't want to give up smoking, Doctor.
There's no
way. Can't you find some other way to make me feel better? I don't want to give up smoking.
Many people do expect to have their cake and eat it, too.
In this instance, they want to feel good without giving up the thing that's making them feel bad.
This is the proper place, I think, to read a very good and true definition of disease. It's from Ministry of Healing, page 127. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health.
Just what are the laws of health anyway, Uncle Julius?
The laws of health govern the relation between oneself and his body, and between the various organs of the body. These laws were a part of God's original program for man when he was placed in the Garden of Eden. Here, surrounded by all the beautiful things of nature, every provision was made for man's health and his happiness. He was provided with wholesome food, sunshine, pure air and water. He was given the care of the garden, which furnished exercise or work. Rest and recreation were found in sleep, and in study amid the scenes of nature and communion with the Creator. Companionship was provided. Worship was found in the study of God's created works and by the Sabbath given to man so that he could ever keep in mind the Creator. The Sabbath was provided as a means of physical, mental, and spiritual rest as well as for worship.
After thinking about it, one can see that if we lived according to God's plan for us when he made us, we would be healthy.
Here is another timely quotation from Ministry of Healing, page 112, 113. Carl, will you please read it?
Mm-hmm. The Savior, in his miracles, revealed the power that is continually at work in man's behalf to sustain and to heal him. Through the agencies of nature, God is working day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to keep us alive, to build up and restore us. When any part of the body sustains injury, a healing process is at once begun. Nature's agencies are set at work to restore soundness. But the power working through these agencies is the power of God. All life-giving power is from him. When one recovers from disease, it is God who restores him.
And now listen to what Doctors Wilson and Willis of the Mayo Clinic say about that very thing.
Proceedings of Staff Meetings, Mayo Clinic, 1910, page 118. When the relationship of bacteria to infectious disease was first brought to the attention of the scientific world, for a long time the specific germ was the chief object of study. Experience soon taught us, however, that in combating infectious disease, it is even more important that we familiarize ourselves with those conditions in the body by which nature combats disease.
And in this study, the body defense mechanism may be included as an important phase of health insurance. It has been provided for us by an all-wise Creator, and it operates according to the laws of life we have already so often referred to. Just as the architect in planning for a bridge or other structure must not only plan for the normal amount of load weight that each supporting beam must carry, but must also provide a reserve strength for extra load weight in case of emergency. This reserve is often referred to as a factor of safety. This is a form of insurance. However, these reserves are for emergency use and not for dissipation. These reserves of life, health, and efficiency insurance are kept in order by obedience to the laws of life. Disobedience to these laws adversely affects our body reserves and our body defense mechanism and handicaps the body in its fight against disease. We may break down the body defense by our poison habits, such as the use of tea, coffee, tobacco, alcohol, and other narcotics, by dietetic errors, unhygienic clothing, by neglect of exercise, physical, mental, and spiritual, by neglect of recreation, rest, and sleep, by neglect of personal hygiene, by emotional strain such as anger, worry, envy, and so on, and by neglect of the devotional life. Now here is a quotation from Modern Ararang.
As a result of extensive studies in this field, I am convinced that overnutrition, the result of palatable meat dishes, is one of the most common causes of disease.
When we think of health, we must think of more than an absence of disease. Health is more than that. It is that quality of life which renders an individual fit to live most and serve best.
That's a pretty good definition of health, I'd say.
Most of us humans could enjoy better health than we do. We know how to keep healthy, but we do not put our knowledge into practice. President Coolidge recognized that fact.
One of the difficulties in the world is not that we are lacking in sufficient knowledge, but that we are unwilling to live in accordance with the knowledge we have. Somewhere in human nature there is still a structural weakness. We do not do as well as we know. President Calvin Coolidge, American Medical Association Bulletin, May 1927.
We are told that many of our diseases stem from what we eat. Even though the laws of health refer to every phase of our living, it is in our eating habits that we violate the health laws the most often. The late Dr. William Osler once said, 90% of all conditions outside of those due to traumatism, acute infections, and contagious diseases are directly traceable to diet.
I remember reading that same thing somewhere, but I don't remember where.
We can at least know from all this that we should be more careful to obey the health laws in our eating habits.
That's for sure.
I'm agreed with that.
And now let's consider one of the main health-destroying agents, tobacco. It is a well-known fact that the use of tobacco is one of the principal sources of coronary heart disease and other kinds of diseases of the heart and blood vessels. Those diseases which cut short so many human lives just at the prime of life. Tobacco is also one cause of peptic ulcer. As pointed out by Pearl many years ago, the use of tobacco greatly affects our efficiency and life expectancy. Here are several quotations on the smoking habit.
The heavy smoker pays with 24 and 6/10 minutes of life for each cigarette he smokes. The pack-a-day smoker pays with 11 and 1/2 hours for each pack he smokes. Quoted from Dr. Raymond Pearl, Johns Hopkins University, Reader's Digest, January 1950.
Fully 90% of my ulcer patients are chain smokers or drink coffee in excessive amounts, 30 to 40 cups a day. Whew. I think tobacco also is a major factor in the tremendous increase in hypertensive cardiovascular disease because nicotine is a blood vessel constrictor. 18% of cancer is found in the lungs. 90% of cancer of the lungs patients are heavy smokers. Quoted from Dr. Leahy Clinic.
This one simple statement, and then we listen to another of your records, Nettie.
All right, Uncle Julius.
The statement is this. Alcohol, like tobacco, is a narcotic and greatly affects our efficiency, longevity, and resistance to acute infectious diseases.
God is love, that love surrounds me. In that love I safely dwell. 'Tis above, beneath, within me. Love is mine, and all is well. God is love, pure love. God is love, sweet love. That love is mine, mine, and all is well. God is life, that life surrounds me. In that life I safely dwell. 'Tis above, beneath, within me. Life is mine, and all is well. God is life, pure life. God is life, sweet life. That life is mine, mine, and all is well.
This matter of health, as we have just seen, is largely a question of eating habits, nutrition. Here are a few facts on this phase of health. Help me read them, will you please?
Of course, Uncle Julius.
You first, Nettie.
Public health authorities report that 9 million school children are suffering from malnutrition.
9 million?
Well.
2 out of 3 people in our land of plenty are malnourished.
General Hershey reports that during World War II, out of 1 million registrants examined for the Army, 380,000 were found to be unfit for duty.
Dr. Tom Spees tells us that more people are starving today than ever before in the history of our country.
And this does not, of course, mean that all these malnourished people are starving from lack of food. It means, rather, that even though the appetite may accept foods that do not supply the body needs, the body will accept no substitutes.
This alarming state of malnutrition is largely due to the fact that children and adults as well fail to start the day with an adequate breakfast, then satisfy their appetite with devitalized foods, white bread, candies, soft drinks, ice cream, and other unwholesome foods which do not satisfy the body needs.
Dr. Victor Heiser made this thought-provoking statement. Today we know enough about the importance of nutrition to be able to say that the number of planes, guns, tanks that come out of the nation's plants is determined largely by what the nation's workmen put into their stomachs. This is quoted from What's New, November 1942.
To allow no food between meals should be an absolute rule. Nothing is more ruinous to good appetite, good digestion, and good discipline than food at improper times. Quoted from Rose's Foundation of Nutrition, 4th edition, Mary Swartz Rose, page 349.
Solomon expressed this same truth in these words from Ecclesiastes 10, verse 17. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness.
Approximately 25 million people in the United States are overweight to some extent, and at least 5 million adults are seriously obese, according to Lewis L. Dublin, Doctor of Philosophy, New York statistician for the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company.
Dr. Levine has said, in spite of war, more white people died by the knife and fork than by the gun and sword.
And Benjamin Franklin said, we seldom repent of having eaten too little.
Dr. Thomas Perrin, Surgeon General, United States Public Health Service, said, improved nutritional standards would add 10 years to the virile lifespan of the average human being.
God has planned that our food should serve to add years to our life, and life to our years, as evidenced by Psalms 103, verse 5.
Psalms 103, 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
We're going to read several more texts, then we'll close. The first one is 1 Corinthians 9, 27.
1 Corinthians 9, 27?
Yes.
But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Of Jesus it was prophesied in Isaiah 7, verse 15, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good.
According to that, the right food will help us choose the right course in life.
That's certainly right, Kyle. For instance, Daniel had that experience. He carried a health insurance policy, and he kept the premiums paid, too, by purposing in his heart that he'd not violate the laws of health by partaking of unwholesome food and alcoholic beverages. He persuaded his three companions to join him in obedience to the laws of life. As a result of their steadfast obedience to the laws of health, it is recorded, therefore stood they before the king. They were found to be in better physical condition and 10 times wiser than the other students in the university which they attended.
Here's a quotation from Prophets and Kings, page 45. At the court of Babylon were gathered representatives from all lands, men of the highest talent, men the most richly endowed with natural gifts, and possessed of the broadest culture that the world could bestow. Yet among them all, the Hebrew youths were without a peer. In physical strength and beauty, in mental vigor and literary attainment, they stood unrivaled. The erect form, the firm, elastic step, the fair countenance, the undimmed senses, the untainted breath, all were so many certificates of good habits, insignia of the nobility with which nature honors those who are obedient to her laws.
Those things are worthwhile, worth working for. Obedience to the laws of health is the best health insurance policy it's possible to have. Learn the laws of health, and like Daniel, purpose to keep them, and you'll enjoy better and longer health.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly until all on the altar is
As a result of this discussion on health Nettie and I have been studying, we believe that by changing our habits to conform to good health principles, we will enjoy much better health. We believe we will have that quality of life which renders an individual fit to live most and serve best. Good night.
Blessed book, precious book, on thy dear old dear stand.